Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell, a weekly conversation about the things that matter most in our lives. Now, here's your host with Stace Cargie and Lindy Turner.
Welcome to another edition of Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell. I'm Stace Cargie.
And I'm Lindy Turner.
And this is our weekly conversation about all things that matter in our world, our homes, our finances, our families, our faith even. You know, whatever is on your mind, that's what we're here to talk about. And in case you didn't notice the big yellow things rolling down the road, school's back.
School is back. School's back.
You know, I keep thinking every year that summer gets shorter and shorter. And then I remember something that my brother told me a long time ago. He said, you know why time speeds up the older you get? And I said, because you forget more? And he said, no, time speeds up the older you get because when you're three, a year is a third of your life. When you're 50, a year is 1/50th of your life.
Well, there you go.
Math. Who would have thought?
Who'd have thunk?
Yeah,
that's
my
true.
Brother came up with that.
And there you go.
You know, he's not exactly known for being the genius in the family, but he came up with that one, so I got to give him props on that.
It's like we all carry a treasure chest in our head, and that treasure chest gets really full.
Well, I'll tell you what, my treasure chest is about overflowing when it comes to time anymore. You know, it's just... there's more and more stuff in there and less time to do stuff with it.
I know. Maybe it needs to be more like a cooler, one of those where that has like the drain at the bottom. I think we need to open that up. Maybe we could let some stuff trickle out, Stace.
I like that, actually.
Right?
You know, I actually really do like that. You know, I got to say, I'm a little jealous that school is back in session. I'm a little jealous, a little wistful.
Really?
You know, I was very, very fortunate to have been able to represent my district in Cumberland County, my
that's
area.
Right.
I was a Board of Education director for my district, which was really, really cool. And I actually got to serve as vice chair on the Board of Education, and it was eye opening to say the least.
I bet so.
Especially since it was during COVID.
Oh my.
Yeah. So I get calls still because people know that I'd served and served District 9, and they'll say, you know, well, I've got a question, you know, I've got this about my school, I've got this about my kid, and where do I turn? And first and foremost, you know, always talk to a child's teacher. If there's something going on, that's the first line of advice I can give you. Talk to the teacher.
I agree.
Because you may assume that they know what's going on. But I subbed one day in a second grade class, and to this day, that is the longest day of my life. So, yeah. So, don't ever assume that the teacher actually knows. So I would start there. And then if you're not feeling like you're being heard or you need to deep dive, you know, please call the Board of Education, call the district office. They have some wonderful people there, including our DOS, mm-hmm. which is William Stepp. He's fantastic, our director of schools. And they will certainly do everything that they can to help you. And there's a lot of resources mm-hmm. at the district that folks may not know about.
Right.
For one, did you know that if you are transitionally housed, so let's say that you're struggling right now, or you know somebody is, mm-hmm. and maybe they're living in their car. Believe it or not, this happens.
Yeah, it does.
You know, or they're living in a camp out, you know, somewhere. I mean, we mm-hmm. see this with the children. And, or maybe you've got an illness and you can't afford to get your child clothes or even basic hygiene items.
Right.
There is a person at the school district who handles this. And you can contact the school district and say, hey, I'm struggling.
Right.
Can I please talk to the person that can help me out, you know, to get some things I need for my student?
Right.
And I'm telling you, it is confidential, and they will take care of you and your child. And the big thing that I used to see is the kids coming in hungry.
Yes.
And I think we're so blessed here that kids get free breakfast right off the bat, because
right.
you cannot teach a child that's hungry.
That's right.
You just you can talk to them all day long. You can do everything you can, but if their little tummies are rumbling, it's just there's just going to be banging their head against one.
Right.
You know, we got to feed our kids. And then now Cumberland County has free lunches across the board. It does not matter about income, which I think is fantastic.
I do too.
because I was the kid, you know, getting the free ticket lunch, right. You know, lunch tickets. And that is really, especially the older that those kids get, mm-hmm. you know, everyone knew what that ticket was.
Exactly.
And no one wants a child to feel, right, that they're stigmatized.
Yes.
100%. So I'm so happy. That makes me so, so happy that we've done that. And we also have other resources in Cumberland County. I know in particular at the high school, and I'm sure they do at the elementary, but I'm really familiar at the high school level. If a child is hungry, there's a snack set up. So
right.
where they can go and there's like a pantry where they can go and grab fresh fruit and they can grab little snacks.
Right.
Again, you cannot teach a child who's hungry.
No.
And so to be able to look at the district and see how the district as a whole and our residents have acknowledged that we want our children to be fed.
Right.
Is huge. And surprisingly and shockingly, it is not across the board. We just realized that.
No, it's not. That's a kind of a school district by school district thing. I want to circle back when you're talking about the person where, you know, if you have really special needs, mm-hmm. you can talk to. That is a huge thing. And there is no shame.
Not at all.
No shame in needing, wanting, and working to make sure that your child gets the help that they need and that you do as well.
That's right.
So confidential is really important. But, you know, everyone needs help at some point.
That's right. So. No child should be without shoes. No child should be without a warm coat. No child should be without food in their bellies. And then, of course, the other thing is the Crab Orchard Care Center. They actually provide backpacks mm-hmm. on Fridays. So the children have food over the weekend.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I just think about these things and how when I was in school, that was just not a thing.
No.
Like, I mean, that was just... You know, if you didn't have food over the, you know, your weekend, I mean, it was a long weekend for you.
That's exactly right.
But being able to know that we are providing for our children, I would love to see, you know, that next step. Is there some way that, you know, we could not just provide for that child, but maybe a little extra. So, you know, so mom and or dad or grandma or auntie can feed them over the, you know, feed the family.
Right. I'm not sure it was universal, but I do know that, you know, during the height of COVID, there was a lot of that, a lot of provision for that, because there was great concern about kids not being in school and
yes.
them not being fed.
Yes.
So, you know, COVID was a terrible thing, but we also learned that we can think differently, we can act differently, we can do differently. So, and my guess, there is still some of that. It might not be sponsored by the school system, but there again, that's where nonprofits and community groups and churches and things go on. So there's probably people out there. And if there are and they have those resources, we'll help you get that word out as well. All you have to do is, you know, email us at info@clinchpal.net and we'll make sure that we share that next week or on the radio show or on the Facebook page. But because that can be a challenge as well.
Absolutely.
You know, there's resources available, but connecting to the people who need the resources is not always the easiest thing.
That's right. That's right. And I look at, okay, so we've got the elementary kids, we've got the high school kids taken care of, you know, mm-hmm. but what about college students? And so here's that next level, right? So you're coming out of school and maybe this is the first time on your own and you got your Pell Grant and you got your little extra money because, I mean, come on, that's what everyone's doing with the student loans. I'm not going to mince words here. I know what y'all are doing because my kids did it too. You know, so they get the little extra money, right, that's going to be able to put in their bank account so they can get whatever they need or what have you. Going to circle back to loans here in a second. A lot of the colleges, I know Tennessee Tech does this, and I know Rhone State does this, they also have pantries, food pantries. So, again, if there is a need, please know that you do not have to sacrifice your health mm-hmm. for school. School is expensive in more than one way.
Yes.
You know, it's expensive mentally, it's expensive physically, it's expensive monetarily. But whatever kind of education pathway that you or your kids or your grandkids are taking, it should not come at the risk of your health. You should not have to sacrifice basic essentials to put yourself through school. That's my spiel on that. That said, there's been a lot of talk about student loans and student loan forgiveness. And I want to kind of clarify a couple things, because this is now you're in my wheelhouse.
This is really, really important.
This is super important. So you might recall about 2 years ago, there was a big hubbub about how the administration was going to cancel up to $20,000 in student debt.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't all of it. Mm-hmm. It was up to $20,000, and there were some income restrictions on it. But it was going to impact a lot of borrowers. Well, that ended up getting shut down by the Supreme Court. So there are still people out there that I talk to on the daily saying, well, I know my student loans are going to be canceled any day. I filled that thing out.
Mm.
Well, you did. However, here's what happened in the meantime.
Right.
So that was put on pause. However, last week, there was some new guidance that came out that the Biden administration, once again, is trying to forgive some student loan debt. Now, this goes back to the type of loan that you have and when you incurred this debt. So if you incurred this debt more than 20, if you started making payments more than 20 years ago,
right,
your student loans are going to pretty much be written off. However, when I say that, I have not heard the final guidance on this, but please be careful. They can make that taxable income.
Oh.
What does that mean?
That means, ooh.
That means, ooh, exactly. So we don't know that for sure, because we're still, you know, waiting for all of the information to come down the pike. But that is something that I have seen in the past, that when some loans have been forgiven, that they've become taxable income, which means it's just like if you were working at your job and let's say you didn't have them take income tax out, and then at the end of the year you had to pay in, it would be a similar kind of situation.
Correct.
So please be aware of that.
Would it still be a good deal?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It would be a fantastic deal.
But you need to prepare for that. And so everybody might not know what that means. So let's say you were lucky enough to have the $20,000 forgiven and stays.
Mm-hmm.
What specific, if that was you.
Calculator out.
Right. If Stace had $20,000 that she'd been still owed, that you've been paying on over 20 years.
First thing I would do is say, woohoo.
I know it. So they're going to forgive it. So, what kind of tax implications?
So if we figure, I'm just going to go with 15%,
because
that's kind of what your federal income tax level is, 12 to 15-ish.
Yeah, it depends on your income.
Right. So that'd be about $3,000. So I would say expect anywhere from $1,000 to $3,000, depending on your income bracket of what you may be responsible for. So that would severely impact you come income tax time if you thought you were going to be getting a big refund. And if you noticed your tax return last year, this past year for 2023, it was probably significantly less than 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that just from some of the tax reforms that have gone on. So keep in mind that that could happen. Is it going to happen? We don't know yet. But these are just things to keep in your radar. So that's the first part. The second part.
Wait just a second, though. I do want to say, okay, so what you're saying, if that were to happen, that you would no longer have $20,000 of debt, nor have to make any more student loan payments on it, but you might owe up to $3,000 in income tax.
Correct.
So you'd still be, I hear you're netting $17,000 plus no payments.
No interest. Exactly.
So
it's a very good deal.
Exactly.
That's a very, very good deal.
Correct.
Just as long as everybody is on the same page and they understand what the implication may be. And I'm not a tax person.
No.
Please, if that comes down the rolling, make sure you talk to whoever you trust with your tax information, because everybody's different on that.
And other things one doesn't know.
Yeah.
It might not be all forgiven all as one lump sum.
Correct.
You might have a chance to where you could split it up and get it part of it forgiven in one tax year and part of it in the next tax year.
Exactly. So there's just a lot of ish.
Yeah, lots of ish.
Yeah. So that's the first part. The second piece of loans that may be forgiven, and I'm saying maybe because nothing's written in stone. So the second piece is for students that are graduate students. And the way that it's reading is that you don't have to currently be in repayment. But if you qualify under, again, the certain guidelines that they're still kind of ironing out, at that point you would be informed that, hey, we're going to forgive this amount, and that they would go from there. So what that means is for someone like me who's currently in school, I can't start my payment. They won't allow me to go into repayment while I'm still in school.
Right.
Okay. And only with certain exceptions will they allow you to go into repayment for the first 6 months after you graduate. So because there's a deferral period.
Right.
So that would mean that I would be effectively shut out otherwise. But they're saying, hey, you're a graduate student. We understand your situation is a little bit different. So you don't necessarily have to be in repayment to still qualify for that. So that's where I'm placing my bet on right now. I'm like, come on, baby. Because that, I mean, $20,000, if they could forgive $20,000 of my student loans, I mean, that's a life changer.
Right.
That's a life changer.
Right.
So there's a lot going on with it. We don't quite know the whole situation, but you should, if you have not already been given it, you should be receiving an email from the Department of Education. You might want to check your spam. I know I got mine on Monday that basically said, hey, here's what's coming down the pike. If you do not want your loans forgiven, you contact them. But if you do, and why wouldn't you, you just let it ride and they will get a hold of you. So that's kind of where we're at with student loans. Got some cool stuff on the horizon we need some input on. We're going to talk about that coming back in 30. This is Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell and WAEW.
If you've ever dreamed of owning a home but credit or income issues stood in the way, Clinch Powell can help. As a HUD-certified counseling agency, their staff of caring and compassionate counselors have the knowledge and skill to get you back on track. The best part, their services are free. Start today by calling Stace Cargi at 865-274-8598 or visit them online at clinchpowell.net. Clinch Powell is an equal housing opportunity. NMLS 2403630.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell. I'm Stace Cargi.
And I'm Lindy Turner.
And this is our weekly conversation about all things that matter, our families, our finances, our futures.
Exactly.
And speaking of futures, Lindy, you were talking about this.
I was. As a nonprofit organization, as a community development organization, as just a person who lives and has a family and faces things, what's important is that in the work that we do and as human beings, we're aware of what other people are facing, which makes me think, we're just talking a little bit earlier about, back to school and the resources that are there that certainly weren't there when my children were small or when I was in school. But there are lots of needs.
Yeah.
Like the meals and supplies, that sort of thing. But that's just one part of things that are facing families in our neighbors. And I would like to make sure that we give listeners the opportunity, welcome them, and encourage them to let us know what's on their mind. Not just for us as an organization, but for other groups. Knowing what is facing people is really important. We sometimes make bad assumptions.
Yes.
Or the assumptions may be built on facts and things that were true 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but things change.
Yes.
And it's like, I want to hear from you. What's on your mind? What keeps you awake at night? What are some things that could change your life in that of your community, your family, and then your community? What we do is all about building stable families, because stable families build stable communities. So that just has come to me, and I think that I'm feeling led to invite people to do that. And the way you do that, simply write to us. You can write to us at info@clinchpowell.net. That's clinchpowell.net. And we'll get that email. Let us know what's going on with you. What are the things that you see? And if it's not in your family, it might be in your community. When we work together, we can make big change.
Absolutely.
So what do you think about that?
You know, you threw that out there. My mind went to about 17 different things. Mm-hmm. And I say 17 because I have 17 children. So, you know, and every child had different needs.
Right.
Right. And things that I'd be like, man, I wish I knew, or I wish we could have, or I wish.
Right.
You know, and so you think about that from your family perspective. And, you know, it may be, you know, wow, I wish I had 3 bedrooms because my kids are all piled up on each other.
Right.
Hey, you know what? Absolutely. I understand that wish. Or it could be something like, I wish, because my kids came out of foster adopt,
right,
a great many of them, I wish more foster families had more support, you know. And when I say that, it's so difficult. You know, when a child is in foster care, there's so much that comes along with it. And you think that you can handle so much, but there's so much that goes into a foster situation. It's very confusing for families.
Right.
You know, and then it's even more confusing for the child. You know, most of the kids don't even have a suitcase.
Yeah.
You know, they're carrying their stuff around in plastic bags.
Right.
I have little books that were given from their caseworkers that have some of their history.
Right.
Some of my kids want to know more. Some of them don't.
Right.
You know, because some of them don't know family members. So that kind of stuff would be really great. And then I look at the bigger community, right? And I think, wow, so we're feeding the kids breakfast and lunch now, but what about our seniors?
Exactly.
You know, my mom was in an amazing facility here in Cumberland County. She had her own apartment. It was great. She had a caregiver that came a couple times a day. So she had 8 hours of care, someone to make sure that she was eating because she had swallowing difficulties.
Right.
So she was fortunate, but that service is no longer here.
Right.
So I think about, you know, our aging community, and I think, wow, you know, there's not a whole lot of support for people like me that are giving care to their parents.
Right.
And that's super difficult, and it's super taxing. So, you know, again, it's, you got to start where you live.
Right.
And then think, wow, if I'm thinking that, maybe somebody else is thinking that too.
Exactly.
And what's the cause of that?
Right.
Am I on the right track?
Yeah. I exactly. I mean, and I don't like to be boxed in by artificial boundaries. I think you know, our thinking in terms of problem solving shouldn't start there. Now, the reality is there are obstacles. There will be things. But if we only think inside that box, then we can never, you never get, what's that saying?
You never get past the box.
Oh, yeah, but you know, if you do the same thing over and over, you're just going to keep getting the same thing you had. But there's a cooler way to say it.
You always do what you always done. You always get what you always got.
That's the one. That's the one. I love that. So, you know, we can think differently. Look, for example, like you were talking about, you know, I know a lot of the communities that we have, they are very small. And back to the whole pandemic and having things change and do differently, you know, in these little communities, there was never a send in your grocery list and they'll, you know, they'll bag it up for you and just drive by and they'll put it in your car.
Yeah.
That's like never would have happened. Right. But now it's, you know, even in small communities, that's a thing.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of these posts are elderly, don't have a way to get there.
Yep.
They don't have that car.
Yep.
And there may not be store delivery or DoorDash or Grubhub.
Or they may not know how to access the technology.
They may not have to, yes, or Lyft or Uber. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean it's not needed.
That's
and
right.
How do we access medicine? Right. So, you know, so that's been something at our organization we're really thinking about and ways that we can tap into that need and see if there could be something to come up. But then again, maybe it's not really real, because that's also important. That's what we think we see. We hear that some. But again, if listeners will let us know, or thoughts on how to solve that kind of thing, and it doesn't have to be that problem or issue, but it's an example of one. we all need to work together. And so we want to hear from you. Info@clinchpal.net.
Rising tide lifts all boats.
Amen.
When you were talking about the technology and the door dashing, I was remembering during pandemic, there was a thing where low-income elderly were given iPads, like tablets.
Yeah, electronic tablets.
Yep. And my mom got one.
Oh. Great.
And I was so excited, right? Because this was going to be big enough that she could push the buttons, because I could not get her to use a cell phone. Just couldn't. So I was super excited that she was going to have this, that she'd be able to have virtual meetings with her doctors, because she did not want to go out during COVID. She was very, very scared. You know, so all of these things. So I was super excited about this. So I go over and she's got her tablet. She's like, that thing's just over in the corner. I don't even want it. And I said, why don't you want it, Mom? I don't know how to use it. It's just too complicated. I said, okay. All right, well, let's learn how to do it. Mm-hmm. So I started teaching my mother. Well, I started to attempt to teach my mother. Word of advice, don't try to teach your mom how to use a tablet if she's anything like my mom, because all it's going to do is frustrate both of you.
Right.
So the missing piece was that they did not have anybody teach how to use this amazing device that could have changed her world.
Right.
Could have changed it. But leaving that to a family member causes a couple different difficulties. One, I'm working all the day, and then when I finally have time to teach her, it's the end of the day. She's tired. She's, you know, whatever. She's in her routine. She's, you know, not wanting to listen to what I'm saying, because I'm her daughter and she can tell me exactly what she wants to tell me.
Right.
So having that third party be able to have patience enough. And I always thought this would have been perfect for a retired teacher. Mm. You know, it would have been a perfect opportunity for a retired teacher to, you know, volunteer however they wanted to do, or, you know, if there was some kind of a grant program where they could, you know, give them a little stipend, something, right? Mm-hmm. Because they have patience and they know techniques to be able to administer information in a loving, kind, but firm way. Mm-hmm. And that ain't me when it came to my mama. I mean, it was, mom, please, mom, listen.
Exactly.
I love you, mama. I love you, mom. You know, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of that.
I think that's pretty universal with your children. It also could be, what a fun little business idea for high schoolers.
Beautiful.
You know?
Beautiful.
That could be pretty cool as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, which is another thing we've been thinking about. There, you know, particularly in small, more isolated, there's a need for more support in ways that A, they can earn money. Mm-hmm. B, they learn from that.
Yes.
C, it gives them experience, and all the things that you learn accidentally by working with a different generation.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And experiencing that and having conversations. And at the same time, it's you know, it's that intergenerational appreciation and learning, which is all really, really important. So you're right. You know, we were not the only people that had that program. The struggle was, you know, we got a chunk of money and we invested it all in the machines.
Yeah.
And but there was no it was quick and there was no way to really support it, and there again you had the things not going in people's homes.
Yes.
and all that. So
yeah, no Wi-Fi, no, yeah,
right. And you know, now there's more free Wi-Fi, right, depending on income and that sort of thing. But there's still a lot of folks, even if they acquire their own machine, struggling to use it, you know, as we can attest to with even board members that we have. You know, now we have board meetings where half the people may be there via Zoom,
yeah,
and half the people in person. And it, where that's been now, you know, what, 4 or 5 years, and there's still, you know, it's still a, it's still a work in progress in some of the older folks to be able to get logged on.
So as our time runs out here, how again would somebody reach out to us if you've got something that you're seeing in your world, your community, something that was like, I wonder.
Yes.
How would they reach out to you?
They would reach out to us at info@clinchpowell.net.
And of course, we're on all social media platforms. You'll find us on Facebook, on LinkedIn. We're not on TikTok because none of us dance as well as Aslan. I think we're going that direction. We've got an amazing young person who is dealing with our social media. So I'm just waiting for that to start.
That's right. And what's it called? Instagram or Insta?
We're on Instagram. Yep, yeah, we're on Instagram as well.
Yep.
And of course, clinchpowell.net. For Clinch Powell, I'm Stacey Cargie.
And I'm Lindy Turner.
And we appreciate you joining us each and every week. And we'll be back next week on Dollars and Cents right here on WAEW. Have a great week.
Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell airs every Sunday beginning at 1:15 right here on WAEW AM.